Welcome to the Glacial Multimedia Podcast Series. The Glacial Multimedia Podcast Series is dedicated to providing internet marketing education to physicians for better business development and overall patient communication.
Thanks for attending our podcast today. This is Michael Dubkowski, and we had a really nice crew here today, and a very exciting topic that is one that I've talked about before, and just something that's really pertinent today. The title of our conversation today is New Media versus Traditional Media with Sprinkles of Branding. And I have several people with me here today that I'd like to first introduce. First of all, I'd like to start off with Daryl Quinlan. Daryl, would you say something about yourself?
I will. This is Daryl. My name is Daryl Quinlan. I am the local search director, reputation management director here at Glacial. Worked here for just over 4 years now. There you go.
Great. And next we have Sam. Sam, would you say something?
My name's Sam Surprise. I'm the president of Surprise Advertising, full service marketing advertising firm, a traditional advertising marketing agency.
Great, Sam. We're really excited to have you here, the first non-Glacial person on the podcast.
Thank you.
Welcome. And next we have Karen Dubkowski. Yes, she is my wife, and we're happy to have her here. Before she was my wife, she did tons of great new media and traditional media things at Maine Eye Center. So we're happy to get her feedback. Karen, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Karen Dubkowski, and I'm currently the Director of Client Services at Glacial Multimedia.
And I'm Michael Dubkowski, and I'm the CEO at Glacial Multimedia. Talk about all kinds of various topics related to new media. So let's get started. Sam's our guest today, Sam, for our audience, if you could just give our audience a little bit of background about the ad agency world here in Maine, how you got into it, and what's that journey been like?
It was kind of a very natural journey for myself. I mean, I started in New York City in 1981. I started at a not agency, but at a media shop, a cable television network at the time called the Movie Channel. I started the day MTV launched, which was a sister station. Nobody knew what it was. You want to talk about new age media. 1981, there was one 24-hour network. And then after about 3 years of going through that into direct broadcast satellite, I said I wanted something more creative. I said I have to start an ad agency. So I started at the bottom and worked my way up in traditional ad agencies and started in, and it stayed in specialty boutiques. I had specialties in different aspects and then got a job offer here in Maine at an ad agency, took it, and started my own ad agency a year and a half later as a good entrepreneurial person that I am, and have been in business since 1991.
Wow, that's great. So we hope Maine's treating you well.
It is.
I know you're not a Maine native, but you've...
No, I have two ex-wives here and two children, so I'm staying.
That sounds about right.
I love Maine. This is home, and connecting with people like you guys here at Glacial New Media has given my ad agency a whole nother arm of strength that I did not have before, and I've been frustrated with that, trying to make sure I'm ahead of the game, because that's what my clients want.
That's nice to hear.
And we need to... You know, we need this kind of partnership is exactly what works well for our clients.
You know, I think one of the things that you do well, you know, from the work we've done is you're a good writer. You write good message. You come up with good messaging. And I think that is a thread that's carried between both traditional media and new media. And I think a place for a lot of people that did have a lot of experience with, you know, older media, that's the thread that really needs to be pulled through in a lot of cases. But let me take a step back here and, because you've had a long history of projects and branding things that are really cool. So could you tell us, what's your take on branding? And typically, if someone says, hey, can you help me with my branding, how do you approach that?
I think with branding, I always say branding costs more because there is no call to action, per se. You don't say, I have a product on sale. In the next 5 days, it's going to be that price, and let's get the phone to ring. And clients, you have to kind of set them down and say, there's marketing and there's advertising. And marketing is what you want people to remember you for. I have the best widget in town for this. And it may be, you know, it may be the color, it may be the performance, it may be the nuance, but it has to be something that people walk away with beyond a price. so that people tell their friends they're proud of the product and they come back. I mean, that's branding is overall recognition. Advertising is call to action.
That's a good way to put it, Sam.
I like that, actually.
Yeah, so now, you know, with the push to new media versus traditional, you know, a lot of things have changed over the last few years. I know, Sam, we had a great opportunity recently for the to do a lecture with old and new media for the Maine Medical Association, which was a lot of fun. And I think we had a lot of really great audience participation, a lot of people asking a lot of questions about all these, you know, new media things. Let's talk for a minute on new media versus traditional media. And in particular, you know, how new media has been able to kind of create a two-way conversation versus traditional media having a closed kind of inability to be able to comment, like, or share. Daryl, you want to chime in on that real quick?
Sure. The one thing that I've noticed with the new media is it is an ongoing conversation, and you get to direct that conversation and try to get your own message out there and have people respond to that. Things like social media platforms are obviously a very easy example of being able to have that two-way conversation. People being able to review whatever it is that they're looking for, and then someone being able to respond to that review. That's an example of a two-way conversation as well. Rather than just have a message beamed directly at you, either through a television or in a print ad where it's just one way, a lot of the new media platforms are actually encouraging an ongoing conversation.
Yeah, it's incredible the amount of, you know, issues that will come up, reputations, reviews, yep, all this stuff. This is a very real thing for people nowadays, you know, in marketing agencies and customers and clients to have to deal with, you know, ongoing, and it's actually becoming part of their marketing strategy.
Right, and it's taken a while. Like, it's really started to take off in the past, I'd say, 3 to 5 years. Where people have really started to pay attention to what the online world is and how important that actually is now. Some have done it, you know, embraced it quite willingly. Some have done it dragging their feet. Some have resisted and then only done it at the very, very last minute. I'm sure that's something that, Sam, you've encountered trying to get people to pay attention to these newer areas as well as the older areas at the same time. But it's been interesting to watch.
I'll say one thing. My clients all want to do it. They all want to be on Facebook. They all want to have Twitter feeds. They all want to blog. But the big education that I've gotten through working with you guys and what you're just talking about, Daryl, is the maintenance,
yep,
and the management. And none of them have the time. And I constantly am telling clients, I know you want to do this, but are you going to take 10% of your time that you have every day to do this?
Sure.
Or are you going to have to pay us to do it and manage it for you? And if you don't do that, you're going to lose on the deal because it could, right? It could spiral.
Absolutely.
And that's what I have learned in my traditional type of marketing and advertising. When I open that Pandora's box and say, yes, you should be on there, I need somebody like you guys who have the professional expertise to be able to manage that on a daily level and monitor it.
Right.
Yeah, I think the management is super important here, but I think another issue we run into quite frequently is budget.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think this is a really...
You have to pay for it.
Yeah, this is the kind of problem that a client may spend too little, not get good results, and then give up on it.
Right.
And having worked with a large quantity of clients, we can see that threshold. Oh, wow, this particular customer spent $5,000 on paid search, and wow, look at the leads they got out of it, you know?
Right.
So I think not only do you need to manage this, especially on the social side on a regular basis, but you need to make sure the budgets are in place, particularly with AdWords versus maybe Facebook, where I think the value right now is just tremendous, you know, in terms of these ads going on there.
And for a lot of practices, it is a full-time job to be able to do this. They start out by giving simple tasks to their admin, like, go ahead, just put some posts on Facebook, let's see what happens. Yeah. And then they quickly realize that you need someone managing that full-time. It's not just a side job for somebody, it's a full-time job for somebody. It takes them a little while to get that.
Very difficult for businesses to allocate the resource particularly for that.
Right. Well, it's far more expensive for them to actually hire an employee than it is to pay a simple monthly fee to
exactly,
marketing company like ours. And the work is actually done on a regular basis rather than whenever an employee has free time.
Right.
Karen, typically on that level that you're talking about, that we'll typically see that balance where if they're doing it internally, they're getting a lot of local stuff going on, things that happen in the business day to day, and that often gets more engagement than particularly like
it's
an external source.
It's good to have a good
source.
Mix. Yeah. So it's really great to have the practice engagement because we get pictures from what's happening in the practice. We have real testimonials being put on social while we're able to give an educational piece by the maintenance that we're doing, and we're also able to make sure it's all consistent and happening multiple times a week or multiple times a month, whatever the marketing plan is for it.
I think a lot of people get caught up, or, you know, they like the idea, they heard somewhere social media is free.
Right.
But I think all that we realize that we've talked about here is it takes a lot of time, it takes budgets, it takes maintenance, and it's just, although it's free, you have labor, you have these budgets. Right. So
before social media, there was PR.
Right.
And everybody said, you know, they'd come to us and they'd say, well, how much for television? How much for radio? How much for newsprint? You know, and then the creative on top of it and the strategy and all these things cost. Sure. And they'd say, oh, yeah, we want some of that free stuff, that PR stuff. And I said, well, that's not free. That means, you know, who's going to call the press and invite them to something that they're going to care about?
Right.
Who's going to craft the message so that they even say that they're there? And then when they get there, who's going to answer the questions? Are you going to answer it? The client, or is somebody spokesperson-wise, which is how you guys operate with your clients. You're their spokesperson in a way. You're guiding that message so that in that interaction, right?
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, that's critical. Or it all breaks down and somebody asks them about why they were seen at a gas station with a woman other than their wife getting gas.
Right.
And they go, boop, 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 and that's it. Game over.
We were talking about this a little bit the other day, when just with branding overall, how inherent trust is in a brand. You build it, you build it, you build it, you build it, and one wrong move can have it all come crashing down. If you're particularly if it's just a local brand, like you're a doctor or a practice in an area, you're not Apple or you're not Amazon, you know, you can make a couple mistakes when you're much bigger, but one wrong move can really destroy your brand quickly.
The big example when I was in New York City was when Coca-Cola in 1984, I'm going to guess 83, decided they were going to take and change the brand, not the brand, but the formula.
Right.
So they put this new Coke out and they changed the formula.
I remember
and
that.
Everybody ran from the stores. They said, we hate it. And it just, and they talk about a major mistake, and it took them years. They stopped the campaign within 30 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it took those 30 days, it took years to get that brand strength back in and the marketing penetration back, because nobody trusted it.
Yeah.
Trust, tradition, routine.
Sam, I want to get back to this. You'd mentioned PR. I thought it was great that you brought up PR. I know you and Karen have done a bunch of work in the PR thing, and, you know, I think we've seen a lot of articles lately, you know, talking about PR. Is PR dead, or is this something that is going to find some resurgence in new media? What are your guys' thoughts on that?
On the web level, when we use things like PR Web and different programs, you definitely have a chance to reach a gigantic audience based on how much you want to spend on a press release. However, it's not necessarily for a search engine optimization standpoint, it's not going to have that huge of an impact, but it's still getting your message out there. And from the ones that I've done, I've seen a lot of interaction and opens and click-throughs on them. But it's a matter of how wide you want to spread your message and really how much you want to spend to get it out there. There's also, you know, the traditional way of calling up your local papers and getting things printed on press, which then leads to being online, which is really great to be able to get anything about your company, any news promoted in a local paper, which ends up online. So, I mean, I don't necessarily think it's dead. I think that it's with so many other opportunities and other places to do research online that maybe the traditional newspaper and magazine have suffered some, but getting it online through those ways is also important.
I think the better word is evolved.
Evolved,
I think because PR is not, it's not just in the press. The press, the savvy press gets it for newsprint from the web.
Yeah.
You know, so and also the web picks up from printed, because the really good journalist that vets their articles before they publish them, it doesn't get out to the press until they vetted it, and you read it, and then you see the internet pick it up. So I think, Darryl, what you do with reputation management is key now, because PR is no longer just have the event, see the press come, as Karen was talking about, and then see what happens. Now it is, let's manage this every day and build a momentum. And I think that's critical for people to realize you can manage your PR online.
Yep.
Still have a huge buzz.
Huge buzz. Still push your message forward through, you know, secondary mechanisms within an ad campaign in traditional media, but guiding it towards what you might pick up on the web.
I think what's essentially happened, and you're right, it has evolved, it's morphed. It's essentially the same concept, and it always has been the same concept.
Absolutely.
Here's a message. We want to craft this message. We want to put this message out there. I think what's just really changed is there are more avenues now, and as you know, people get older and the internet's been around longer and longer and longer, people are starting to gravitate towards that just like they would with any new technology. So it's there are more avenues, and there are better ways to be able to get a message to multiple people rather than just through a newspaper.
Right.
The wider audience, like Karen was talking about.
And I think this is, you know, circles the overall topic that Sam and I have discussed quite a few times, which is mix.
Yes.
And I think if there's one thing for us to kind of end on today, it's I'd like to kind of talk about this a little bit. So as mix plays a role here, a lot of the things we hear are that Gen Xers, baby boomers, they're still responding to traditional media substantially.
Sure.
Hearing ads on the radio, they still watch TV at night, versus what we're hearing about millennials is they really don't engage much at all with traditional media. So I was hoping I might get some feedback on that particular topic, but also the importance of mix and making sure that, you know, you're getting your media out there for all demographics, you know, no matter how old or young.
I think with particularly the younger generation, we'll call them like the 45s and under, their way of watching television is changing, so the advertising for that has to change. You know, people binge watch. They'll take an entire Saturday and watch 10 episodes of something in a row on Netflix with no ads. So the
ads in it, but can't be fast-forwarded.
Right.
Which is the new trend, and which I like.
Yep.
You know, they force you for a limited time.
Right.
Which is important. If you've paid your ad to be in that program, in prime time, and then it goes to Netflix a day later.
Right.
Those ads stick for about, I think, about 15 to 30 days before you can start fast-forwarding.
Right.
Which is part of making it all work.
Right. And there, you know, the ads that are now in front of YouTube videos that where some of them you can skip, some of them where you can't. So advertising has adapted to the mediums by which people are now actually watching and the ways that people are watching. So it still exists. It's just slightly different. And I don't think anything like that is going to go away. So when you're talking about mix, you can still do very high quality advertising to be put in front of either someone on a television or in front of their computer, absolutely. But you also have to think about the medium by which you're putting that out there. Most of that is going to be done online, even though it's old school advertising. It's just done online now.
And you know, strategy. Where's my audience?
Right.
20 years ago, they'd say there was, well, I'm going to date myself, 30 years ago, there was just the primary networks, ABC, NBC, CBS.
Right.
There was no CNN. There was no
then along came Fox.
ESPN, and then there became Fox. And then there was 100 stations. Well, on radio, it's always been, you know, you don't buy one station. And I always tell clients this. Your audience is not one client. You have men. You have women. They might be younger. They might be older. They might be more educated. They might be less educated. They might buy Chevys versus Mercedes. You still got to go where they are, and they do other things, and they listen to multiple radio stations. Internet's no different.
Exactly.
You know, and internet now has become its own fourth leg, because I think of TV, I think of radio, I think of newsprint, and I think of the internet. And the real campaigns that I like are the ones where I have one now that I'm launching for a client, and we're using radio to drive them to a Facebook contest.
Yep.
And on a well-known radio station website. And then I have Facebook, with your help, driving them to the radio station to listen for the event. It's going both ways. And I'm expecting very solid success because I've got them on both sides. I've got them riding in the car. Oh my gosh, this is going on. Listening to their favorite DJ.
Sure.
Then I have them online with people who aren't even in their car, but they're listening at their desk, their workstation, and say, oh my gosh, this is online right now. Oh, I see it on the website. Oh, cool. I can enter. and then they're going to announce it, the winner, in 3 days on the air.
And everybody's going to tune in.
And everybody's going to tune in, and they're going to go to Facebook to see the winner's face,
yep,
the page.
I think that's a great example of integrating mix.
Absolutely.
You know, and those two things working in harmony together. Because if you did it just a straight Facebook campaign on it, you probably wouldn't get the power or the entries into the contest that you would. And I know you've worked on a few of these, Karen. What are your thoughts on the mix?
When it comes to contests, you really do need the mix. I mean, you're not just going to be able to put out a promoted post on your Facebook wall and be able to get 100 people to sign up for your contest. You need to promote it on your website. You need to promote it within your practice or store or whatever the venue may be. And then you also need to, I mean, I think radio is the absolute best place to put that. And when I've seen people invest money into this campaign to make a contest work, they get the best results out of it. They get one winner and hundreds of leads.
Yeah, and this is an 8-week campaign, and we have the DJ talking about it live on the air on the morning of the drawing. Now, you add those three components, live DJ that can respond spontaneously. You've got the internet set up with Facebook, which is an interactive medium, and you got radio pre-produced ads driving them to the website. And you got a website in it that can post and has drop-downs.
And you'll be able to historically reach these people now that you have them, you know, signed up in the contest over time.
And that is a branding campaign. There is no price point call to action.
Rip.
That is a branding 8-week campaign for a client that sells retail every day, 7 days a week. Now, they're more sophisticated. They've got more depth, but it is how, and we do price point all the time too, but this is a branding campaign, pure and simple.
Great thoughts, guys, today on new media. Great thoughts on mix. Sam, I'm really happy that you shared that with us there. I'd like to thank everybody, all of you today, for attending and helping me with this podcast here. If anybody has any questions, you can always contact us through our website at www.glacial.com.
Thank you for listening to the Glacial Multimedia Podcast Series. For more information in regards to future podcasts or services discussed, please visit www.glacial.com or call us at 207-878-5900.